And welcome back to Grassroots Marketing on CannabisRadio.com. Right now, I'm going to speak with the founder of a Maryland-based cannabis education company, the newly crowned adult use state of Maryland. And she runs a cannabis education company empowering Marylanders seeking guidance on the journey to using medical cannabis. That company is Lucy's Natural Remedies. I'm here with Lucy Escudero. Lucy, thanks for being on with us.
You're welcome, Jorge. Thanks so much for having me.
My pleasure. Now, you make the initial point about the mission to educate people about the health benefits, because you mentioned about how people are confused about medical cannabis, and you have a mixture background professionally of law, wellness, and research, helping cannabis patients make sense of the current state of research. And you talk about how, you know, it's not just a question of which strain. Do you smoke it? Are edibles okay? Do you have to get a card? So initially, before we get into what brought you into the space, what is it about the education that you've seen that has been lacking that Lucy's Natural Remedies is trying to fill?
Well, first of all, I'd say there's two things that are kind of missing. Number one, there's this misinformation or this misguidance that the higher the THC percentage, the better the experience will be for the user. And we're beginning to see that that's not necessarily the case. We have cultivators kind of chasing that high THC coming in at percentages as high as 30%, when really your endocannabinoid system doesn't necessarily need that for everything that you're looking for. And the other thing is that people are looking so much more at strain names rather than what the terpenes are. And rather than looking at just like THC or CBD, if you also look at the terpenes, which is what causes that aroma in the plant, we're finding that that has a bigger effect on your experience rather than just how much percentage it is of the cannabinoid.
Now, part of the thing too is that in Maryland itself, going to make that switch this year where they've added adult use or recreational, we might call it, for cannabis, there are going to be those that are going to come in and they realize they can go into a dispensary without a card if they are able to go and get something dispensed to them, that some of those are going to be chasing that high. And there's going to be those, and I imagine there would be a difference in the education for those that have a medical marijuana card. They want to get a proper dosage. They want to get it prescribed. You know, they want to have to go by the route of what they need for filling whatever affliction they have, as opposed to those that are recreationally just looking for the next high for themselves, something that gives you that real potential optimal entourage effect.
Yes, I love hearing you say entourage effect, because that's really what it's about, right? This is a plant. It grows naturally. It has its own characteristics and items that we can't just kind of isolate and look at and think that that's all we're getting. There are these minor cannabinoids that we're learning more and more about, like CBG and CBC, that really have an impact on how, for example, in neurodivergency. I'm actually doing a series right now with a colleague of mine on seeing how cannabis impacts people who either have been diagnosed or have what we call peer-reviewed diagnosis of neurodivergency, and finding that things like CBG and using certain terpenes like pinene end up having a great effect on their characteristics or traits that they have with neurodivergency, like anxiety or emotional regulation. So when you're going in there for a recreational use, like there's that weekend high that, you know, you're chasing. And there's nothing wrong with that, Jorge. There's nothing wrong with going in and saying, hey, Mr. Bud Tender, could you please give me something? I've got a party to go to. But we're finding that more and more people are turning to cannabis for things like insomnia, anxiety, diet regulation, believe it or not. There's so many other medicinal uses for this plant. So having a little bit of knowledge of what you're looking for is really important before you go into that store.
There's been a lot of studies talking about in terms of what users want to go ahead and prefer when it comes to what they like. So your education, I imagine, would have to also kind of fit towards the demographic from a headset. They talk about how older consumers generally prefer more traditional product categories like flower or edibles. Younger consumers prefer more pre-rolls and concentrates, categories much more easily customized for groups' taste than flower. And that the, you know, Gen Z, your younger demographic is really flocking the vape pens, as opposed to what people that might be boomers or Generation X or anything like that. And, you know, the younger Generation Z is actually the fastest growing age group as well. 11.3% in the US, 6% in Canada. So you're getting much more younger people coming into the space with a different palate as to how they want to consume cannabis. How do you go ahead and deviate those demographics who comes in to go ahead and learn more?
Well, I think education falls everywhere, right? And if you're going into the space, and when I worked at a dispensary, let's put it that way, what I would ask my patients when they would come in is, what effect are you looking for? So you as a consumer, you know, if you're, you know, Gen Z or a boomer or Gen X or whatever, ask yourself, what effect am I looking for before you go into the store? And that'll give you kind of an understanding of what to look for. And I would not ask, I would invite you to think about using a method that might be something that you weren't used to using in the past, right? Let's say you used to smoke, you know, joints when you were in college. And so that's what you want to smoke when you come in to the dispensaries now. Again, look at the effect, right? Because for example, if you're coming in here for help with insomnia, the problem with any kind of a combustible, like whether that's a concentrate, a vape pen, or flower, dry herb, it has a very short time of effect, right? It lasts basically about 2, maybe 3 hours. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking at something like an edible, that can last 6 to 8 hours. Right. It takes a little longer to set in, right? So what I would always tell the patients is, okay, if you're coming in for insomnia, do like a 1-2 hit, right? Take a little bit of a combustible at the same time as your edible. So that way you can fall asleep immediately and the edible will help you stay asleep. Right. Then there's also thinking about how you're going to consume it, right? Because you can't sit there and light up a bong in the middle of a conference room or whatever, right? And let's say you need to medicate because you have arthritis. At that point, a vape pen might be your more discreet way to go, or an edible. So don't be afraid to try new things. I actually, if I can dive into a little side story, one of my clients, I coach people on how to use cannabis responsibly and intentionally. And one of my clients that I've had for a few years now, she's been a customer for my lozenges, my full spectrum hemp lozenges, but she recently had to have hand surgery and she's having issues with her liver. And anytime you're using an edible, your liver becomes involved, right? Because it breaks down the cannabinoids, and that's how you end up having an effect from it. So I had to steer her away, even though she's been using the lozenges for 3 years. I was like, okay, I'm sorry. We can't have you. We're going to put a little pause on that right now, but let's talk about combustibles, right? And this is an elderly woman. She's like in her mid 70s. She doesn't really smoke. She smoked cigarettes back in the day, but all the more reason why she didn't want to smoke now, right? And we had a conversation about it and I explained the benefits, the pros and the cons. And, you know, I was like, we could do this or we could do suppositories. She's like, let's talk vape pens. And so, the vape pen ended up being a way for her to medicate. And I was on the call with her and she took one hit. And within a few minutes while she was looking for a pen to write things down, I was like, hey, so, how's your hand? And she paused and she said, oh my goodness, it doesn't hurt anymore, right? And this is somebody who had been very adamant against smoking, much less, you know, anything with a THC product. But I knew that if we found the perfect combination for her, something that was going to have a high cannabinoid dosage of CBG and a low THC level, she would be able to still have a functional day and not feel like she was dosed and drugged out, and not feel that pain. So,
Now, one of the things that you can do when it comes to education is that you come from experience. Now, I haven't gone to the background yet, but you've been living with chronic pain. You had a car accident in 2016, prescribed opioids, but cannabis you found more effective with fewer side effects. So when you get a chance to personally have one-on-one conversations with that client and others, you know, how important is that to have that background to be able to go ahead and relate and let them understand, you know, you're not just, you know, you're not consulting just by what the research says. You know it because you've done it.
I think it's really important.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
But it's not just necessarily about my background, because, you know, a pharmacist isn't going to have tried out all of their drugs in their pharmacy, right?
True.
But they're going to know how it works. And that's how I approach this, right? I've done my share of toking over the years, and I found a way to be able to use it intentionally and medicinally as a result of this car accident that happened. I was walking down the street and I was crossing it in Baltimore, and I just did not see the guy, and hit me while I was walking. Right. And so lights, you know, like I saw that bright white light. Time stood still the whole nine yards. Right. And I popped right back up. I don't know what it was, but I was very, very lucky. I have permanent damage in terms of nerve damage in my neck, shoulder and hip and lower back, but I didn't break anything in the moment, right? It seemed at first like, oh, that's weird. I just got hit. Did that just happen? But over time, I started realizing the chronic issues that I have from it, and I still have to this day. When I tried using opioids, they just didn't work. They didn't take the pain away. They just made me feel extremely itchy and irritable. And I think having that firsthand information really does help connect with some of my clients, right? Some of them come in and they're like, okay, you know, I heard from so-and-so that you're great. I don't need to hear your story, right? But others are, once they hear the fact that, wait a second, you healed yourself from being run over by a car through cannabis and physical therapy, I'm like, yeah, it can be done.
Right. That's pretty serious pain. And for anyone to realize that, you know, we want to try to avoid so much of having to go and use that kind of pain management because of the possibility of being so addicted to those meds after the fact. I mean, I worked at a pharmacy and remember seeing a number of pharmacists that always had to go and deal with the fact that you had those with chronic pain and, you know, doctors, they abuse the privilege of using their script to go ahead and constantly and continuously not evaluate their patients, but continuously go ahead and prescribe opioids because it's just easy to just go that route and not even try to go ahead and break the cycle because some people just gotten so addicted to it, couldn't do anything about it. And it was really amazing the kind of rage that some people would have when they tried to go in and try to get their meds either a couple days early because they might have used it too much. And that's not the case with cannabis. I mean, you can just tell there's much different feel of pain management when you use this. You know, talking about the difference. I mean, when you did see the change to it, I mean, you know, it was more of where it's not trying to go ahead and just numb the pain. It's more of just really like alleviating it and going through much more than just like trying to just, you know, put a signal to the nervous system to kind of just avoid the pain. The pain keeps coming back, but with cannabis is a different story.
Yeah, no, it's a wonderful way that cannabis works. Let's take topicals, right? Because that was one of the main ways that I was healing my issues.
Right.
If you take a full spectrum topical, so it'll have a little bit of THC in there, and it's legal under the Farm Bill. You know, it's 100% federally legal. You have that little bit of THC acting like a numbing agent on the surface of your skin, while the other cannabinoids, you know, predominantly CBD, lowers the inflammation. And when you lower the inflammation, that's what is affecting the pain, right? That's what reduces your pain. And if you start taking full spectrum CBD, full spectrum hemp regularly, right? Because you have this system inside of you, this endocannabinoid system that regulates inflammation in your body, you overall better improve your quality of your life, right? Because it's preventative at that point, right? You're making sure that when you took that extra walk earlier that day and maybe kind of twisted your ankle a little bit without knowing it, your body is already has the power and the tools to be able to reduce that inflammation on site. So it's a great thing. Now, I I do want to go back because in case my doctor is listening, I did have a nerve burning that they did in my neck and in my lower back. So it was not just cannabis and physical therapy. There was, you know, there is a time and place for medicine, right? I feel like if we try to say that cannabis is the panacea and that's going to save everything, we're doing everybody a disservice, right? This is just another tool that our doctors and our healers right now are unable to use under federal law. And it's like holding their hand behind their back. You're preventing them from being able to administer a healthy, high quality medication and overall. Sorry, that I was trying to finish that sentence there, Jorge, and I.
Yeah, no problem. You want to just let's take a pause and then you go ahead and finish the way you want to finish that.
By allowing our medical professionals to use cannabis as a tool in their belt, we're able to provide a better service for everybody at that point. So it's not going to be necessarily the solution for everybody, right, but it is going to be a solution for many.
You know, it's interesting that, I mean, there's not enough doctors. There can always be more doctors that could find their way to go ahead and explore the benefits of cannabis. Obviously, there's a lot of research, like things like can a lot do. There was a guest I had on our Blunt Business program that is that founded the Doctors for Cannabis Regulation, which is great. And they're all coming across and saying, okay, let's go ahead and, you know, first of all, they're trying to do things to make sure that there's verifications in all products with a particular cannabinoid product symbol, things like that, but also just to continue to educate and advocate for cannabis. And if doctors are getting more involved to legitimize what's going on, that would be great. And to see them more come into the space. Now, into the actual website and your products, let's get into those. So again, the website is lucysnaturalremedies.com. You provide topicals, bath products, accessories. And one of the things you've had since 2017, you mentioned already, was Lucy's lozenges.
Yes.
And the idea is, so I haven't really heard anybody talk about lozenges. You might, like, you always think of them for cough or for sore throats. So, I mean, yes, it's like almost like a greater candy. You're just sucking on it. It's one of those where you just let it just... let it kind of like just melt in your mouth, basically. I can't even think of the word I'm looking for, but yeah.
Dissolve.
Talking about the idea of creating, dissolve. There we go. Thank you so much. So lozenges, tell me the idea about going with this and the flavor of the palette you went with them.
Sure. So the lozenges came out of a personal need. When I first moved back to the DC area, I wanted to be able to medicate throughout the day, and I couldn't really do that in a corporate building, right? So I was like, edibles. I'm going to have to start learning how to make my own edibles. And my family is from Peru,
right?
And this recipe is over 200 years old, and it comes back from the first homeopathic business in Lima, Peru.
Yeah.
And it's still actually alive today. Our family doesn't have any affiliation with it, but we had a whole bunch of just different recipes and homeopathic remedies that were passed down through the ages. And this came from my grandmother. And I modified it because, you know, at least the recipe I had didn't have any hemp products in it. Maybe the original 200 years ago did, when people were using cannabis as a medicine all of the time. But I altered it so that you're able to medicate with it. Little extra knowledge for people: if you want to make an edible, make sure it has a fat soluble in it, because otherwise the bioavailability is not as effective, and you're not going to really be able to process that edible and the cannabis and digest it and feel that, you know, the effects from it. So I altered it a little bit, and this started back in 2016, right around the car accident. And in 2017, I went ahead and tried out for the National Cannabis Festival's Canatank, which is like a shark tank for cannabis businesses. And they thought it was a great idea, and I won. And I thought I was going to make THC cannabis lozenges at that point, but it wasn't meant to be. Having a THC business is very, very difficult, even in a state where it's legal. And so at that point, I turned to hemp. And the flavor palette originally, the original flavor had all sorts of ingredients in it, like lemon, ginger, a little bit of eucalyptus in it, honey, like the kitchen sink. It was awful. It's not palatable at all for me. But I wanted to make this kind of a nod to my grandmother, Lucy. And for me, when we would go visit my family in Peru, it would be kind of like the end of the summer season and going into winter, or sorry, of the fall season and going into winter. And so there wasn't really much left in her orchard, except for a couple of raspberries. And so I had to have a raspberry flavor, right? And the rest just kind of fell organically, right? So we started with the lemon ginger and then went to raspberry. Peppermint is a really good flavor for people who don't like that herbal taste, because there is going to be still a little bit. Those are the flavonoids. It's good. You want that in there. But if you don't really necessarily want to taste it, I would go with either the lemon ginger or the peppermint. The orange was a reminder of just like those lollipops that you would get as a kid. And the lime flavor, the key lime flavor, kind of developed out of the... There's no... In Lima, Peru, we call it Lima Limón. It's kind of like a nickname for the city, which means like Lime Lima, right? Or Lemon Lima.
Yeah.
So I went with a Lima Limón kind of flavor, but that doesn't really roll off the tongue. Lucy's lozenges, Lima Limón, is just too much.
Right.
Let's go with key lime instead.
Interesting. Now, yeah, and the palate, very interesting, the fact that the flavors you have for lemon, ginger, key lime, orange, raspberry, and peppermint, and also different sizes. I'm one of those, when you have to go and buy lozenges for colds or whatever, you can buy the small little pack, or you can buy the 75 pack that you have. So it's like, definitely have all that. Also vegan and gluten-free. Wonderful to see that. And
thanks. Yeah. I also wrap them. The bags are not biodegradable, but the wrappers are. I spent about 7 years living in New Orleans and saw many, many Mardi Gras where they would pass out the beads during the parades, but they would have them wrapped in these little plastic bags. And so after every parade, there would just be just thousands of plastic bags making their ways into the gutters, into the water systems. And my background is I'm a water attorney, right? I used to focus on the quantity of water and trying to help with street flooding and water management in the city of New Orleans. And so when I found out I could get these wrappers that are biodegradable, I was like, okay, I'm not encouraging you to litter, but I know my conscience is clear if you end up happening fantastic to drop one of those wrappers on the side. But there's the 10 milligrams strength and then the 30 milligram strength. So if you're just looking to kind of supplement your diet with a little bit of CBD, go with the 10 milligrams. If you're looking for something a little bit more for like migraine management or insomnia, I would go with the 30 milligrams.
Right. All right. Well, leave it there. Again, the website is lucysnaturalremedies.com. And once again, Lucy Escudero has joined me, who's the owner of Lucy's Natural Remedies. Thank you again for making time to join us, and really best of luck.
Thank you so much, Jorge. I appreciate your time.